The Business of People with Lizelle Van Rijn. So, hello, Denise.
Hello.
Full disclosure, Denise is a very good friend, but started as a coworker and has had... we were just having a conversation outside and I thought, fuck it, let's just go inside and record this, or at least try and see what happens. But you've gone from this is quite a journey. You've gone from being an academic to now having to navigate what it means to be a business and how to run a business.
Yes.
Yes.
I was actually thinking about it when we talked about it yesterday, that the main thing I would want to or could talk about is that the challenge of being an academic is basically being taught to be very grateful for every rent you get, right? Every bursary, every...
Funding.
And the funding is tiny. And it's also not like... It's not as if they value really what you do. You are trained to be so grateful for what you get that that's actually a challenge when you have a business, because that's why I feel why I don't chase my invoices, why I don't... try to
that's interesting
to like push it to another level, because I'm so trained to be grateful for what I get that it's the wrong way to approach the business. And I had a lot of time to think about that now that's I have to completely redefine how I do this when I relaunch. That's
so hang on, so before you came to South Africa, how many years ago was that?
Seven almost.
Okay, so you were in Berlin before.
Yes.
That, and you were working for a university there.
Yeah. Well, I did a PhD and I had a bursary for that, which is 4 years of minimal pay, yes.
Okay. And you applied for that bursary, or did you arrive at the university and the university said, here you go, here's a bursary, you can your PhD?
I applied.
Okay.
Always lucky. I always got bursaries for my projects.
Yes.
But it's also this, like feeling lucky and feeling grateful for having a bursary, like puts it out of relation of how much it actually is. And that you can't live until I was 36. I couldn't live like a grown-up person. Like I had to be on a student medical aid.
Right.
Like when you're in your 30s, that's just not an option anymore. No. Things can happen.
Even though the work that you were doing is very important, right? It's sort of like that doesn't even factor into the fact that, yeah, the value that you're providing to the university, if you like, which is not different from the business that you're in now. The value of the service that you're providing to these property owners, which we'll get to in a second. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of the thinking of be grateful because we're paying you a commission.
Yeah,
or we're
exactly.
paying you a fee to look after. But actually, fuck you. The value that I'm adding.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't make anything without me.
Exactly.
So, and that is why I realized in this break now that I have to rethink that. I'm not doing them a favor. Actually making them money, more money than they would make without me.
And saving them money.
Yeah, definitely. And also looking after. I mean, they were all quite happy for me to look after their flats now during lockdown, which I wasn't allowed to do and did anyway.
Yes.
But I mean, there's stuff happening now everywhere. So you have to take care that the flats are okay, that there's no break-ins, that...
Yeah, so before we popped in here for this recording, you were telling me about this property in Camps Bay. So what happened there? It was a block?
So it's a block of flats and they had three break-ins yesterday. It's almost only Airbnbs or retired people. So,
right.
So and that's what's going to happen now, more and more, I think.
Yeah, sadly.
If travel isn't opened.
But even if travel is opened, I don't know. It's going to take time. I think that's what we do know.
Yeah.
To sort of readjust. And I remember, so you know, we were also talking, my car got Jimmy jammed, broken into, right?
Yes.
Well, kind of, they tried. And a couple of days ago here. And I've been in this area 9 years this year. I remember the first year that I was here, it was very scary. The first year that I was here was a very different experience in what we call the East City precinct of Cape Town. It's not even Zonnebloem Gardens, it's the East City, right? So you wouldn't just walk down Harrington Street. You wouldn't just walk down Bettencourt Street. This was before Truth. This was before Lefties. This was before New York Bagels. This was before any of this stuff came. But in the last 3, maybe 4 years, it's been quite relaxed. Like if I think back of what it was like in January and February, just, you know, popping down the road for a... you kind of wouldn't think about it, but so, now but, you do.
Yeah, that is also why it's actually scary to think that in how many days, 86, 80, whatever, 87 days. That
92.
Oh, really? Are we in the 90s?
92.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, but how things go back.
Yes, yes. We survived.
How things go back quickly to bad, right? Like it changed faces very quickly.
Yeah. Very quickly. But 90 days is a long time. It's 3 months.
Yeah, it's true.
God, you know, and a lot can change in 3 months.
Yeah.
Which we've seen. Okay, so you went from academia. Amazing. So that's how we met, actually, because you came in here. You got a post at UJ, University of Johannesburg. You were there for what, 3 years? 4 years?
Yeah, four, I think. Yeah.
And then the funding?
The funding came to an end, also because of the situation being a white female academic with a European education, which is fair enough because that's what I worked about.
Yep.
But the decision, so I actually, I mean, my thought was that I just have to make some money to fund my own research, be independent of bursaries. But turns out that time is not on my side.
And time is money. Yeah. Bills to pay, rent and stuff.
Yeah, but actually, there we go again. Like, time has to be money.
Right.
So, and that is something that I realized. And it's me bad too. For someone who's like, I'm an academic at heart, right? I believe in that and it's always what I wanted to do. But it makes you realize that it doesn't pay bills. So
being less, because I suffer from the same. And this is what also spurred us to jump in here, because I do the same thing here. I have this duality of being the host and being the friendly face of Cape Town office. And my personality just is that. And you inevitably or invariably become friends with people that you're also doing business with.
Yeah.
And it does make it awkward when bills aren't paid. You know, when you send invoices out to people and they just don't pay it and they keep very quiet and you sort of like, and then you, oh, shit. Fuck, how do you...
But that is, I think, why it's good that you automate it as well. And I think, like, either doing that, like having automated emails that take care of that, or you need a person that you can have...
I think an external is probably better. So, yeah, look, I mean, during COVID, and COVID has been so weird anyway for a bunch of reasons, but I actually turned off that automation during COVID for two reasons. One, because we didn't know what the time frame was going to be. We didn't know. Initially, we were only locked down for 3 weeks. Then it was an additional two. And so thinking that, okay, worst case scenario, 6 weeks, we'll come back. But then obviously as time goes on, it just goes on. And 80% of your head capacity is filled with other things rather than invoicing and stuff. But I think you're right. I think an external is probably a better way to do it, to divorce yourself from that personal connection so that you don't have to go into those.
Yeah, because it also relates to what we talked about earlier, that people can feel that you don't quite know how to handle this and that you're a bit insecure about how to proceed.
Yeah.
And they just jump on that. And that's actually unfair because we should all take care of small businesses. We are all small business. So we should have that awareness and but people feel that you're unsure about how to handle the situation. And that's what you lose out on. We should actually just continue as is. To also keep that respect up.
That's amazing. That's an insight, that a connection that I didn't make before, and it's so simple, actually.
To, you know, just like,
because I don't want to stop being that person that is that warmth and friend, and I don't want to stop doing that.
But I think so. Maybe the lockdown was the last lesson in the book, which is we've done this as friends and there was a place for us for it, because both of our businesses are built on that, like that we are that person that like is in the middle, in the center of it. But now that's why I say, like, that's why I talk of a relaunch. Now is a relaunch. Now people must understand we did this for so long now as a friend.
Yeah.
But it is a business. We suffered. We suffered for you. So we are still here, but there's new rules now.
Yeah.
And I find
that's healthy.
It's also mainly because you can't just continue like that. If it's fluffy like this, that's what people take away, right?
No, because at the end of the day, when the chickens come home to roost, when the bills need to be paid, nobody's there but you.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And you know, then what? Then all the niceties, all the drinks after work, all the friendly chats, all the, you know, none of that shit matters.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also interesting. You can see it in the numbers here and you can see it in the people that are here. Some people you are surprised about that they're here.
Yep.
Wouldn't have expected that. And correct. Some are not where you would have thought they are here.
Correct. And, you know, for all the reasons that, I mean, look, I'm not oblivious and I'm not in denial about the real impacts of this thing. And absolutely, if the choice is between a membership or rent and maintaining a staff salary, fuck yeah, man, pay your staff. Always.
Yeah, definitely.
As a business owner, I would say, no, pay me first. But you can't. You have to look after people. So yeah, it's difficult. It's really, really difficult how to marry those two.
I also think, unfortunately, this is something that time will tell. How long are we going to be able to keep that up?
I keep thinking about, during lockdown, we had all these conversations about exactly what you just hit on now, which is redefining. It's renegotiating. It's refreshing, right? And not going back to where we were.
Yeah, because we were also careless. That is pretty much what it is. Like too careless, too trusting. And I'm not saying that people are doing bad things or like do this on purpose. They were like, probably without even noticing, I'm doing it to other businesses right now. Like, you know, we are not always aware that the other person perceives their action like we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think
redefining.
It's just, yeah.
I'm excited for that. I'm actually quite, you know, the one thing that you said right at the start of lockdown, actually, which has stuck with me, is that it would be fucking tragic, actually, if we were to just try and go back to the way things were before.
Yeah, and my idea was actually that maybe we are all not that business oriented anymore. Maybe we go back to a little bit more like thinking more socially, which is probably not going to happen if we're being honest. But at least, I mean, if the takeaway is that we all can work on our business, making ourselves better by making the business better, then that's a win.
It's a definite win. And I think it can start with even just small decisions, you know, supporting the local guy rather than supporting the big guy.
But on a more positive note, what I also keep telling myself is we are all always scared and prepared for the worst. Like we are always prepared for the bad days and keep some savings for the bad days.
But are we really? Like this has been the single biggest thing that's gone through ripple effect, ripped up the core of like anything that we understood to be normal before.
Yes, but that's what I say. So we are always prepared. But are we really? No, we aren't. Like, I didn't have enough savings to get me through this or whatever. But
sure. You
see what happens? Nothing. Absolutely nothing happens. We are all still there. We all make a plan. We all struggle. But we all have a house. We all have family that we can go to. Like it's this scariness of daily life, that scariness that we make, the stress in our daily lives is caused by that, right? By that fear that things could go wrong. Things have gone wrong now. It doesn't get any worse. So that's what we know. That's amazing. It's amazing to know that it doesn't get worse than this.
True story. And there's always true story.
And that's also and our businesses are very similar in that I was always very scared to lose clients, to lose flats, to upset them in a way, like, not make them happy so that I lose them. I lost all of them now, basically. Like, they're all quiet.
Without even being an event, right? Without even there having had been a conversation between you and these guys, your clients, to say, sorry, I can't anymore, right?
Yeah.
Then that's exactly what happened to me. I need to actually go and sit and look at it, but I think I can guess 75% of my membership is gone. And the majority of it, 90% of that, has happened without even a conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
That it's gone.
Yeah, and I think I think also you can look at it that way. I looked at it like I've, let's say, 10 clients and everyone I lose is going to be a minus. I have zero. Everything I win now is a plus and I can choose. The ones that I never liked working with, I'm not going to take on anymore. And
that's
actually amazing. It's a good takeaway.
And it's actually exactly what we said before, which is that, you know, I think the reality is if the risk is greater, you pay more. End of story.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be fair. It's got to be fair for everybody.
But it's also not only about income or like the business side. It's also, I feel like, the appreciation of people. Like, I had some of my clients checking in, how are you actually doing? How are you surviving? What are you doing? So, and I appreciate that. And I had some that didn't care at all. So
some I haven't heard from at all. And not for lack of reaching out. And I mean, you know that I reach out a lot by email, by text, by whatever, whatever, you know.
That's definitely something that I will appreciate going forward.
And try and work with more of those people.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. Denise, thank you.
Thank you.
Should we wrap this up?
Yes.
And we'll do it again soon. The Business of People with Lizelle Van Rijn.